Amen. Yes. Good morning, Rock Church. How are we doing this morning? Good, good, good. Good to see your smiling faces. My name is Darren, the marriage and family pastor here at Rock Church. I've been here on staff for a little while, 24 years coming up. Some of y'all not even 24, but that's all right. But I want to jump right in because we spent a lot of time, a lot of people spent a lot of time on things that don't or won't really have an impact on their life. And I really feel like in the area of marriage, right, it has an impact on our lives. Everyone in here has been impacted by a marriage or a relationship, whether good or sometimes not so good, right? But I want to encourage you to lock in and really hear, man, what does the Lord have for me today? So I'm going to open up in prayer. We're going to jump right in. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for marriage. Thank you for the way that you love and the example that you've shown us in how to love. May you bless our time here today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm so glad that we did this series on situationships, right? PT did an amazing job. I just want to get a quick little recap, right? How many of y'all are single? Any single? Single? Okay. Hey, let me encourage you. Singleness is not a prison, right? It's okay. It's a space in your life. It's a journey. It's a season of your life, right? So I want to encourage, like, don't waste your singleness, right? Don't waste your singleness, right? Marriage is awesome, but don't waste your singleness. So we're going to go right to the definition of situationships, right? Is an undefined, unclear romantic connection that lacks boundaries, commitment, and God. Right? If you in one, get out. Okay, get out. But then on the other side is dating. Right? How many of y'all are dating? Nobody want to raise their hand. They here together. They're like, I don't know. Are we dating? I don't know. But dating. Here's what dating is. A defined relationship that establishes boundaries, has clear goals that honor God. I added something on the end. With the sole purpose of marriage. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. The sole purpose is marriage. If you're dating, I don't see another reason as a man or woman of God that you should be dating other than marriage. Can I get amen? Amen? Amen. All right. So if you're in one of those, make sure you get it right. Now, so we have the situationship, we have dating, but as we're going to talk today is what is marriage God's way, right? Because sometimes we see marriage, but we're comparing it to something that it's not. Like, we're not getting the benefits and the effects from marriage because we're not putting in the effort. One of the restaurants that I love is Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. Yes, yes. And Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles is amazing, right? But if I tell you about Roscoe's and you go to Ralph's and get some Swanson's chicken and some store-bought waffles, and you're like, man, chicken and waffles is not that good. I'm like, well, what'd you have? It's like, well, I went to Ralph's and I got some waffles and I got some heat up chicken, like it's not that good. I'm like, bro, no, you can't compare those two. If you are not putting God at the center of your marriage, of your relationship, you can't compare the two, right? There's no way you could compare. So we're going to jump in. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Because here in America, there is a gap between dating and marriage. Y'all agree with that? All right, people are dating, and then they're dating for, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Right? So if you have defined goals and boundaries and you have a purpose, it helps you. But here's something that you can trust. Right, because I know a lot of, you know, smart people, you guys are real thinkers. Here's something you can trust. God's word, it works. You can trust it, And it really does make life better. It really does make life better. Right? I grew up, I thought, there's no way I'm ever going to get married. I'm going to be a player for life. I am so glad that God changed my life, changed my heart. If you can show that picture, and in 1993, boom, come on. Come on. Yep. April 10th, 1993, me and my bride got married. Y'all see the part, right? Okay, come on, come on. Yeah, uh-huh. Yep, yep. But as we talk about marriage today, I'm going to give it to you in one sentence. And this is what you have to understand. Once you say I do, it is no longer just about you. Okay? So are you ready to get married? Well, answer that question. Once you say I do, it's no longer just about you. Right? We have to get that. We have to understand that. Right? So if you as you are figuring things out, once you understand that, then you'll answer the question, okay, well, maybe I am ready. So here's a couple of things that I believe the word backs up is that marriage God's way. The first thing, marriage God's way, is it's thriving and fun. I'm saying it again, it's thriving and it's fun. What breaks my heart is I ask people all the time, how's your marriage? Hey, how's your marriage? And here's some of the answers I get. I say, oh, it's good. Depending on the face, you can tell how good it is. It's good, right? Sometimes I get, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It could be better, right? It could be better. It's blessed. One of my favorite is that they're saying something, but they're saying nothing. It's fine. I got one answer that one of my boys said. I said, hey, how's your marriage? He's like, man, it is fun. I was like, man, that is awesome, because that's what God wants us to have, right? Genesis 2:18, it says, for it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. Now, I want to explain that to you. Guys, that doesn't mean that God is going to bring you the perfect woman, because if he brought you the perfect woman, she probably wouldn't want you. Don't take it wrong. Don't take that wrong, right? Because you're not perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. But God is going to bring you just the right woman for you, right? That's what it is, for you. So as we talk about marriage, it should be thriving. It should be fun. One of the reasons I think there's a gap is that married people, we're not showing the world what marriage should look like. We're not showing the world. The world doesn't have anything to be excited about. It's terrible that dating looks sometimes way more fun than marriage. A little thing that my wife and I do well, she doesn't really do it. She just goes along with me. But whenever we're at the airport or somewhere, I see a couple, and by the way they say hello or goodbye at the airport, I determine whether or not they're married. This is the married people. All right, babe, hey, okay, I'll see you later. The dating people, it looks way different, right? The dating people are, bow, 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 right? They all about it. And I mean, as married people, like we have the license, right? We have the license to do it. Like, literally do it. So we have to make sure we take advantage of that. But here's one description, and one person told me this about their marriage. I said, man, one of the guys who led me to the Lord, I said, man, how's your marriage? He said, my marriage is delicious. I didn't know what to say. But what I thought in my mind is, I said, man, I want that to be my description. How many of y'all would love to have a delicious marriage? Come on, raise your hand, raise your hand. All right, all right, all right. So if you want to have this, right, delicious marriage, it really is, it's all up to you. It's all up to you. What is the effort that you're going to put in? God said it's not good for man to be alone, so that means it's good when you have, right, in marriage, so it should be good. Right, we heard marriage is not just, right, marriage is not to make you happy, but to make you holy, and I saw something, and it added something. It said marriage is not just to make you happy, but also holy. Right, so marriage is going to make you holy, but it should, right, it should make you happy as well. Here's a cheat code. Cheat code to delicious marriage. Y'all ready? Ask your spouse, husbands, wives, wives, husbands, ask your spouse, how can I love you better? How can I support you better? And then do that. That's easy, right? We're done. Let's pray. PT, come. That's it. Right? It's done. But the reason why I feel like this is so, so very important is you have to know, you have to believe that marriage should be thriving, marriage should be fun, marriage should be delicious. Right? I would love the Rock Church to be known for delicious marriages. That would be awesome. Hey, man, tell me about the marriage ministry. Hey, marriages in our marriage ministry, I got one word, delicious. All right, let's move on. In order to have a delicious marriage, there's a couple of things that you have to do. The first thing that you need to do and you have to understand is that submission is mutual, right? Submission is mutual. I want to read a verse to you. It's in Ephesians 5, but I want to read it from a different translation, the Passion Translation, okay? The Passion Translation, Ephesians 5:21, and here's what's important is a lot of times when this passage is read, everyone goes to Ephesians 5:22, and they skip over 5:21. If you skip over 5:21, it could make marriage a contract and not a covenant, okay? Marriage should be a covenant and not a contract, so in order to understand submission is mutual, 5:21 says, and out of reverence for Christ, be supportive to each other in love. And the New Living says, and further, submit, everybody say submit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's where it starts. It doesn't start with, woman, you need to submit. It doesn't start there. That doesn't work, right? If we're submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ, then all the other stuff will take care of itself. I tell husbands all the time, you know, it's, hey, well, my wife, she's not submissive. I'll say, well, if you have to remind her, that means that you're not doing your part, which the word says you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. So if you want to remind her that she should be submitting, love her more, love her better. Wives, if you want him to love you better, love you more, be respectful, be honorable. Out of reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. Okay, for wives, all ladies in the house say? Y'all already know. Here we go. For wives, this means being devoted to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. For the husband provides leadership for the wife just as Christ provides leadership for his church as the Savior and reviver of the body. In the same way, the church is devoted to Christ and to the husbands. You are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. For he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy, pure, cleansing us through the showering of pure water of the Word of God. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him, glorious, radiant, beautiful, and holy without fault. Husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. For to love your wife is to love your own body. That makes it pretty simple, right? We should be surrendering our life to Christ, right? If somebody saved your life from devastation, you would be indebted to them forever. Can I get amen? That's what Jesus did. That's what he does. He saved our life from tragedy, right? How many are so glad that you didn't go down the direction that you thought you were going to go? Anybody? Right? This is what Jesus does. So mutual submission is very, very important. Some of you say, well, I can't do that. That's just not who I am. You don't know what's being asked of me. Okay, well, again, remember, you surrender your life to Christ, and now you become a whole new person, right? And this is two people working together, right? But if I told you, hey, if your wife is asking you to sit down and have a conversation with her and just ask her how she's doing, and you say, well, that's not me, and I told you, hey, every time you sit down with your wife, I'll Venmo you $10,000. We're doing it. So it's all a matter of priority, right? Is it a priority? There's nothing better than a happy home, right? Happy wife? Stop. Happy wife? Happy husband? Delicious life. Here we go. Number two. Number three, led by love. A marriage God's way should be led by love. When love leads, you treat your spouse better than they deserve. When love leads, you treat yourself better than they deserve. You know why we should treat our spouse better than they deserve? Because that's how Christ treats us. Right? The grace that he gives us. Right? God's reward at Christ's expense. Right? What is that about? What does that mean? Right? If you just lead with love in a relationship, in your marriage, all that means is if you led with patience and kindness, we can go through the proud. Don't be proud. Don't be rude. Don't be boastful. Hey, let's start with patience and let's start with kindness. It would change everything. Right? So it's all about, man, how you lead. And this love looks different than the world love. This love looks different than dating love. For example, if I said to you, how much money does a millionaire make? You would say what? Do y'all not know? If I said a millionaire, they make $1 million, right? Okay, yes. But what about somebody who makes $900 million? Are they a millionaire also? Yes, but can you agree that that is way different? Way different. The love that we should show right in our marriage, the love that was shown to us is bigger than that. 1,900,000,000, bigger than that. There's so many more things that come when you can lead with love. It eliminates so many other issues, so many other challenges, and it's simple, but it's not easy all the time, which is why point number four should be very important in your life, is that a marriage God's way, prayer is a priority. Prayer is a priority. If you show me a couple who wants more intimacy, who wants better communication, which is awesome, who wants better connection, right, who wants to be happier, who wants, you know, more happy endings, I will show you a couple who is not praying together. I will show you a couple who is not praying together. Prayer, making prayer a priority. It's not just we do it now and then. It's not just we do it sometime. We're saying, no, this is what we're going to do. This is a priority. Right? Like, how many of y'all brush your teeth? How many? I bet I see every hand up. That is a priority, right? You brush your teeth every day. It's a priority. This is how, that's prayer. Prayer is a priority. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't worry about anything. What shouldn't you worry about? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. As you get older, you're encouraged, right? Because all of us are older, right? At this moment, you've never been older than you were a moment ago until right now. I know that was deep. All right. So we're told, hey, as you get older, hey, make sure, you know, you start stretching, you know, because stuff starts to get tight, right? How many of y'all are older? Right? Stuff starts to get tight, right? You can't do things the same way, you know. A buddy of mine, he was walking, we were walking around, and he said, man, he said, I just hurt my foot. I said, how'd you hurt your foot? He's like, just walking. The stretching, all these things, they lead to a healthier lifestyle. Making prayer a priority, it leads to all of the things that we want. Improved communication, a spiritual connection, increased intimacy, not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. All of these things just from making prayer a priority. Gratitude, appreciation, humility, selflessness. And it even says a couple who prays together consistently, who makes prayer a priority, has way more happy endings. If you're married, can I get an amen? Amen? If you're not married, you should be looking around wondering, what are they talking about? All right. So number five, believing the best. A marriage God's way believes the best. What are the benefits of this? The things that we want, the things that we desire, stronger trust. Conflict becomes an opportunity to grow, right? Conflict becomes an opportunity to grow. When you believe the best, your mind instantly goes to a solution rather than an issue. James 1, 2 through 4 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. How many of you would want to be mature and complete, needing nothing? Right? That's what we desire. That's what we all want. In order to get there, you have to make some choices. You have to make some decisions. In a marriage, really in life, when our expectation is not met, we have a choice. Every single time our expectation is not met, we can assume the worst, or we can believe the best, every single time. So in life, in marriage, this is us. Are you sure that's us. Every single time, you decide. You decide. When prayer is a priority, it's easy to make that decision. When you're led by love, it's easy to make that decision. When submission is mutual, it's easier to make the decision of believing the best about your spouse. We say we're going to believe the best when a couple gets married. I promise to love you in good times and... I don't want to say that. I didn't mean that. Yeah. In good times and bad. When you decide that I'm going to assume the best, I'm going to believe the best, it takes you to another level. It helps you to go to a solution as opposed to, if this happens again, that's it. Versus, hey, this is not where we want our marriage to be, and we will figure this out. Amen? Amen. All right. After that, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is like a cleansing, right? Forgiveness doesn't mean ignoring challenges. It means giving it to God and allowing him to heal you. That's what forgiveness is, right? We should make sure we forgive because God forgave us of a lot more than he's probably asking us to forgive someone else of. Now, again, I'm not minimizing. I know, you know, some of you have been hurt, right? Some of you have pain in your lives. So I'm not minimizing anything. But I want you to understand is that forgiveness sometimes is not just for the other. It's not just for the other person. It's for you, right? Because when you have unforgiveness, you give control to this other person over you. So you have to make sure, hey, God, I don't want to forgive this person, but I know it is what I should do. So not my will, but allow your will to be done. And the last point is a marriage God's way should have an impact, should impact the world for Jesus. It should impact the world for Jesus. Now, as I stated in the beginning, is some of you, all of us have been affected by a marriage or relationship, right? I was affected by a relationship, right? My mom got pregnant by my dad, and then my dad went off to Vietnam, and he came back. He was a completely different person. I had 3 conversations with him. He lived as far from the church to where Trader Joe's is, and I only had 3 conversations with him in my whole entire life. I was affected by that because my life then turned into acceptance. I wanted acceptance, so that's why I went all in sports. That's why, you know, I wanted this validation, so I went all on trying to get validation from women. Like, I did all these different things, right, because of the relationship that affected me. Some of you, your marriage is affected by the relationship that you grew up in. You're trying to be, your relationship is just like mom and dad's. If I was to ask you, I'd show of hands, how many of you want your marriage to be like your parents? Raise your hand. Let me see. See that? Not that many. I seen some hands like this, and then some hands are like this, so maybe this is like, well, kinda. But this is the reason why it's so valuable, so important to make sure that we have an impact on the world. If this is the only relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ compared his relationship to the church, then we have to get this one right. We have to get it right. Because the enemy has his sights set on marriages. You know why? Because if he can get the marriage, he don't even need to get the kids. Because the kids will be affected. Some of us are still bottled up now. Some of us are still mad at what happened when we were children. And we haven't let that go. We haven't forgiven. Now, sometimes there are good things that come from the homes we grew up in, right? Like, some of you, right, you look just like mom, you look like dad, you're relaxed, you're all these different things. But the one of the things that I've seen in my 15 years as a marriage and family pastor is the effects of the foo. Y'all know what the foo is? Family of origin. That has been the most impactful thing that I've seen that has affected marriages, that has affected parents. And I want to encourage you is to understand that it's time for marriages, it's time for us parents as men and women of God to take a stand. To take a stand for the kingdom. Now you see, you know why we're going to another service? You know why we added another service? Because people want hope. People want, it's not working, the world is not working. You've seen the excitement, right, in our pastor, right? He's not even preaching today, and he had to come and deliver that message today because that's how important it is. We talk about the next generation. We talk about revival. Yeah, revival is happening. Rock Kids is, I don't know, is over like 300 kids, which is wild, right? Youth ministry, right? Youth ministry is blowing up. It's amazing. A 16-year-old young lady is giving the word of God to the youth today. 16 years old. We were joking in the back, like, hey, did you give a message when you were 16? We were like, I was giving a message, but it wasn't for Jesus. Young adults is taking over, right? Young adults is blowing up. And all of these things, they'll continue to grow. But what if they can grow exponentially? You know how that's going to happen? The way that's going to happen is for marriages and us parents to not be in the audience just cheering and applauding, but to say, you know what, I'm going to get in the game. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I want to put this out, and then I'm gonna pray for all the marriages. Matter of fact, if you're married or if you have kids, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Stand up? Stand up? If you can, stand up. If not, every month we put on something called a Parent Connect. This Wednesday, our very own Pastor Travis, he's teaching our Parent Connect, because things are changing, right? Things are changing. There's different slang, right? Like, you know, there's crazy stuff going on, right? They have questions that you may not know. We want to connect with you so that you could connect with your kids, right? To help you. So if you want more information about that, right? You can text Next Steps. It's there. You can text. You can go to marriage@sdrock.com, or you can text marriage to 52525. But we want to help you. We want to help you be the light that you should be, that we all should be, as the word says. Let your light shine so for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. These kids are being attacked. Marriages, parents, you guys are being attacked because the enemy knows if I can get you, I got your kids potentially. And then married people, right? Marriages, some of you married, right? You need help. You need love. You need support. You need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody who is further ahead of you, who can pour into you and say, hey, let me show you what road to go down. Hey, don't take that turn. Go this way. Right? Some of you have a delicious marriage. You should share that. Be a part of the team. We have a table out front. We would love to connect with you. And then some of you you need hope. You may be here saying, man, I came here and this is my last hope. I would love to meet you, my team. We would love to meet you and just pray with you and give you the hope that Jesus Christ gave us. Right? So we have support for you. What hurts me is when I see or hear a couple who they give bad news. They, oh yeah, it just didn't work out. And I ask them this. I say, what did you do? And they say, oh, well, nothing. There's something for everyone here. Wherever you are in your marriage, older in your marriage, sometimes we feel like we don't have a voice anymore, that people don't want to listen. People need to hear from you. So again, as I said, it is Parent Connect. Plug into that one time a month. It will help you so much. The marriage ministry, it's a way for you to get connected. Wherever you are on your journey, it's a way for you to get connected. But I just want to encourage all of you to know that a marriage God's way is a marriage surrendered to Christ. Amen. So let me pray. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you as you stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for, first, the marriages, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would trust you, follow you, and obey you in everything that they do. Lord, I pray that they would be the light they would be the difference that their kids need to see, Lord, that they would show them the love that you show us, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, whatever, if there's been mistakes that have been made, Lord, I pray that they would simply say, I'm sorry. They would ask for forgiveness from their children so that they can have the impact that you have encouraged us to have. And then for those, the parents, Lord, I pray for all those who are raising kids in this wild world. Lord, I pray that they would get connected. I pray that you would speak clearly to their heart, give them the wisdom that they need to have the influence that they are supposed to have, Lord, for you. Lord, may we impact the world for you, Lord, but may we start in our homes. Because as for this church, as the marriages and parents in this house, as for me, as for we in our house, we will serve the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.